No, I don't have anything planned. So that should make for a good podcast.
Yay!
Right? The lack of planning. That's always great.
I know.
Welcome to episode 2 of This Side Up, the official podcast of StealthyBox.com. I'm your host and editor-in-chief, Joe Garcia, and I'm joined by...
Krista!
There she is.
Hi, everybody!
And not joining us this time is Jack Schrute, who is ill because he's a baby. Wah-hah.
Get well soon, Jacko. I love that.
We might end up doing this better than last time anyway, because he's not here.
I know.
I find it better to record when the podcast is exclusively done by good people.
Yeah. We'll kick this podcast butt.
Yeah, with Jack out of the way, you know, our decency quota.
I know, to question everything and relate everything to Twilight. I mean, there's nobody here to, like, ruin things.
Here's a fun fact about Jack. He didn't get into Michael Jackson until after all the molestation stuff. That's a fact.
What?
That's kind of
personal. That's messed up.
That's not true. I don't know if that's true.
That is horrible. That is a horrible thing to say. So horrible.
All right, let's just get right to it, shall we?
Yes.
Let's talk up some news, some of the happenings around the industry. And this is also,
should we discuss the new Xbox first?
Yeah, let's jump right into the big stuff. A big bunch of rumors are just swirling around about the new Xbox. Just mostly because Microsoft won't come out and actually confirm or deny anything whatsoever.
Yeah, they don't want to release any information at all.
Yeah, so the latest thing to come out is that the new Xbox, the 720 or Infinity or whatever you want to call it, it's supposed to be or supposedly an online-only machine, meaning that you have to be connected to Xbox's servers to...
Right, in order to play anything.
Yeah, to even launch a game... or an app, whether the game is single player or not. And if you're playing and that connection drops, you have about 3 minutes to reestablish the connection before you...
So you're practically, like, screwed.
Basically.
Isn't it also they have the cost of the system is different?
Right.
Depending on which one, like, it varies. It's either 500. 500 is the most expensive from what I've read, or 300 being the cheapest, which... isn't cheap. I mean, these new generation consoles are just going to completely drain everybody's wallets.
Right. Yeah, that's another part of the rumor mill is that those prices are going to be that. And the $300 one is going to be based on a subscription model. Kind of like kind of like when you buy a phone for cheaper as opposed to, you know, laying down the full $700 for an iPhone. You pay $200 to your carrier and, you know, you kind of pay them back through a two-year contract or whatever.
That still includes, though, all this online stuff, though. I mean,
yeah,
that's...
Yeah. That's, like, I mean, if anyone wanted to buy an online or a non-online only Xbox, they would almost always go for the cheaper model.
I don't understand. I mean, I think they're going to have to do some really good, they're just going to have to show off something really amazing for it to be even worth seeing, because compared to the PS4 right now... this is crap.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, compared to everything
it just is.
Coming out from Sony's camp on their side of things, they're doing almost everything possible to make sure that, you know, the PlayStation 4 is going to be this super great system. They've even come out and confirmed that the PS4 isn't going to have this sort of connection thing.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much want it to be the best ever.
Yeah, they're going out of their way to make sure that gamers... are not only talking about the PlayStation 4 by revealing it much earlier than Microsoft is doing with the Xbox, but they're making sure to get all these positive things into the light so that people are not only talking about it, but talking about it in a way that gets them excited, as opposed to everything you're hearing about the Xbox, where it's this $500
right.
machine that you need to have the internet to even play. It's bananas.
I mean, honestly, I was expecting to hear at least more than that at this point. I just feel like they would have said something bigger. I don't know, even spec reveals or the controller. I mean, PlayStation 4, they released the controller for it.
Right. I mean, part of this report that, you know, got all these rumors out into the light, it also says that Microsoft is planning something for May 21st, you know, for actually unveiling this thing finally. And apparently they were gonna, they were supposed to do it this month, but they ended up pushing it back for whatever reason.
Because they're scared.
I don't know.
They just can't compete. They can't compete.
It seems like it might just be like damage control or something. Like all these things that, you know, people are talking so positively about the PlayStation 4 and all these bad rumors are coming out about the Xbox.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just kind of going back. They're like, all right, maybe we can do a couple of things within a month that we can fix or change, which I hope is the case, because I mean, I want to buy the new Xbox, whatever it ends up.
Yeah. I feel like, though, they're probably waiting and just trying to build up anticipation, because maybe they're going to say something or show something that just completely blows PS4 out of the water. I don't know if that will necessarily be true, because, I mean, they'll have to do a hell of a lot to even get to that point.
Right.
But maybe that's what this is all about.
Oh, man, I don't even know.
It's anticipation.
All right, so the next item on the docket is that the long-rumored Batman Arkham prequel is finally been revealed.
I'm very curious. So curious.
Yeah, so the thing is that it was revealed by the monthly Game Informer cover, like, unveiling. They do that every month, and they...
Right, yeah.
And this time it was Batman Arkham Origins, the official title, and it's pretty much everything that we've heard about it so far, that it's a prequel and that it's not being done by Rocksteady, but by another developer. And this developer is Warner Brothers Games Montreal.
Now, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, that it's being developed by a different... Because Batman, the game before it, or after, before, that was just... Yeah, it was just so good. I mean, do you think they'll be able to make it just as good as the one that they had just released?
Well, Rocksteady, you know, they gave them all the technical stuff that they need, all the engine modifications and all that, and they're consulting on tech stuff, but pretty much everything else based on the story, all that's going to be done by this studio, but...
They shouldn't really have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Batman is Warner Brothers related, I guess.
Yeah, he's... Warner Brothers owns DC Comics.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just getting kind of tired of prequels all of a sudden. They seem to be the thing.
Yeah, I know. They're popping out left and right.
Like, even the title is super generic. Arkham Origins is like, ugh. But, yeah, I mean, I read the Game Informer feature. Yeah, everything that I read about it pretty much checks all the boxes for a prequel. It's like, you've got a villain that most people that aren't super fans of a franchise have probably never heard of. It's going to be Black Mask. It's like, eh. It's like, you hear about Black Mask there, Krista? You a fan?
No, I haven't. I'm currently, like, I'm a really big fan of Batman, but I recently got into it, so I don't really know a lot about his backstory or the villains. I'm trying to read the comics and stuff now, so.
Like, he can be a fun character or an interesting character, but he's not. But usually
not. He's nothing compared to Joker.
No, like, it's definitely not a Joker. It's not Two-Face or Mr. Freeze. Like, all these amazing characters that were in the Arkham Asylum games previous to this. It's like, and probably, except for Penguin. Penguin is in it in a small sense. But, like, for the most part, it's not going to be a bunch of characters that you're super familiar with. So, yeah.
I think that could be a good thing, though, just to get more people interested in Batman and just to give more insight into the villains that exist in that world. Maybe it could be viewed that way.
And the game does come out this year. It's got an official release date for October 25th worldwide, which is a pretty weird date because that's a Friday. Games usually come out in Europe on Friday, which is normal for them, but it's gonna be a worldwide release date, so that's gonna be low.
So it will be released just simultaneously everywhere on that day.
And another thing is that along with this, there's also going to be a portable game on the 3DS and the PS Vita called Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate, and that's going to be a Metroidvania type of game.
Right.
And that sounds more interesting to me actually than Arkham Origins proper.
Yeah, it just sounds like it'll be more kind of retro. I don't know. I'm liking the sound of that one a little bit more.
Yeah, that one's not going to be done by Warner Brothers Montreal. That one's going to be done by a studio called Armature, which is founded by people who came over from Retro Studios, which did
Right.
Metroid Prime, the Metroid Prime trilogy for Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they've got a pretty good pedigree for Metroid-type games.
It should be good then. Hopefully. Let's hope.
Yeah. I'm definitely more excited for that, to be honest.
It just sounds more interesting, even though, I mean, it's the same Batman Arkham Origins. I know it's the same, but just 2D on a handheld console might be a little more entertaining.
And looking at the screenshots and reading about it in the Game Informer thing, it's going to have like a lot of the same combat even from the Arkham games on the console. It's going to have the same free-flow combat with the counters and whatnot. So,
oh, that's good. The combat was actually really fun in that game.
Yeah.
Even though I like would get stuck on some of the combos, but I mean, it was still a good time to kick some butt.
Yeah, it can get hard on the harder difficulties when you don't have the little lightning bolts telling you exactly when to, you know, counter.
Yeah.
But like, it's definitely one of the most satisfying combat systems I've ever played in any game. It's
very smooth.
Yeah, it's really excellent stuff.
It really is, yeah.
You know what else is excellent stuff?
Are we gonna talk about level 5?
We can.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It is. And they have just confirmed in an interview on the Japanese website that I cannot read that they are working on a PlayStation 4 game.
Yay! I can tell you right now, if it is anything like Ni No Kuni is, then they are just set for more mind-blowing, brilliant work.
Now, Ni No Kuni, I have not been able to play it yet, just because I haven't had time or money for it. But
you have to play it.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that I pretty much fell in love with instantly when I saw it for the first time.
I mean, I'm still in the beginning, but I've watched a lot of gameplay on it. I'm just very into that game because I love Studio Ghibli, and it's like seeing a film just come to life and actually being able to live it, and the world is just so expansive and big. You can literally put in 100 plus hours into that game and still not be done yet. It's literally like that big. It's just wonderful. Everything about that game is perfect.
And it's just so damn pretty. That game's...
It is!
And that game's going to be beautiful forever. It's going to be like games... It's, you know, it's games like this, like, as opposed to, you know, like the super hyper-realistic games. It's games like, you know, Ni No Kuni, games like Valkyria Chronicles, and like...
Yeah.
You know, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. Like, those are games that, like, stand the test of time just visually.
Well, they're good because not only are the visuals and stuff good, but like the music in the games, it's really good if you're just in like a relaxing mood and you just kind of want to sit there and play a game that makes you feel good. And Ni No Kuni had music by Joe Hisaishi, who's a famous composer in Japan, and his music is just, it's so good. I would have to put him up in the ranks with like Nobuo Uematsu from Final Fantasy. He's one of the best composers. So, I mean, the music and the environment just...
That's some pretty high praise with the Uematsu.
It is. It's deserved.
Now, with Level 5, their pedigree, what was their pedigree of their past titles? What are you most excited for in terms of potential for this game ending up being? Like, would you want a Ni No Kuni sequel or a sequel to something like Rogue Galaxy, or just something new altogether?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it would be really cool to see Level 5 work with, like, Ghibli again, or maybe even some other company and do something else. I don't know if I'd like a sequel to Ni No Kuni. I think they should just leave it the way it is. So I'm going to say something new altogether. Give me a new experience. That's what I want.
Cool. You know what else would have been a pretty wacky new experience?
What?
A Mega Man first-person shooter.
No, that just sounds weird. I cannot picture that. Although, for like diehard Mega Man fans, who doesn't want to be Mega Man? And shoot his little
Well, I'm not sure I'd want to be a prepubescent robot boy who slowed on contact.
Well, you wouldn't have to be Mega Man. You could be your own form of... That just sounds really stupid. Just gonna stop.
Yeah, I mean, so Polygon had this, pretty much this big blowout, this kind of reveal that they kind of dug up this thing from actually the same studio that's doing the Batman handheld game that we were talking about earlier.
The Metroid one.
Yeah, I mean, they came to them, and that's kind of a perfect fit for, you know, like, hey, do this first-person game that people wouldn't expect for a franchise like this.
Right, I mean... It would be good for them anyways, because the Metroid games are really good in that sense. So, I mean, they could pull it off if they wanted to.
Well, I mean, there's no need for it anyway, because, I mean, that game got canceled 3 years ago. So
they'd just be getting, I think, the people who really like it really excited about it if they did announce it. I mean, I'm sure there are still people who love Mega Man and want him and the games to come back.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was canceled, or the game, not the thing. But it was canceled after Kaiji Inafune left Capcom, and he's the creator of Mega Man. I don't know if this project was kind of his baby or something, but that's pretty much when it started and just fell off, is when he left. So
I mean, it makes sense that it would kind of do that after he left. Maybe he didn't want anybody else to take his, like you said, I guess his baby away from him to change the story or what people were familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, ever since he left, they've pretty much been struggling with what to do with Mega Man. Like, they canceled Mega Man Legends 3, which was supposed to be a launch title for the 3DS. They canceled Mega Man Universe, I think is what it was called, which kind of looked like Little Big Planet with a Mega Man spin. Like, all this stuff, it's like, man, what are they doing with Mega Man?
I didn't even hear of that, but I think either of those would have been a good idea. I don't know. I mean, I never really sunk a lot of time and hours into Mega Man, but it was fun to play.
I think I've actually...
So, I mean, I think there would still be people who would really enjoy to play it.
Yeah, probably. But, yeah, I'm kind of like you. I'm not a huge Mega Man fan. I've actually spent more time listening to the soundtracks than playing the actual games.
Yeah.
Like, those soundtracks are so good.
They really are.
Yeah, so R.I.P. Mega Man, first-person shooter.
Oh, man.
Wherever you are now.
Somewhere out there.
Somewhere in the ether. Next up, we have Tales of Zillia. This is a game that I know nothing about, to be honest, but it's finally coming over to North America.
Yeah.
On August 27th.
I don't know how to feel about this. The game looks beautiful. Don't get me wrong. All of the Tales of games are really just, they're amazing. The artwork and the characters are memorable and the music and the gameplay. I haven't heard much of anything about it either, or I can't remember because I was reading about it while it was being released in Japan. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been out in Japan since like November 2011, so it's been about a year and a half since it's originally been out.
I like the fighting style in the Tales of games. I like the open worlds of it, so I also watched to see some of that.
And the producer on the game, the North American producer on the game, he also assured people on the PlayStation blog that they were doing their best to keep the voice acting as close to the Japanese in tone for the English dubs.
Right.
So, I don't know how important... apparently, that's super important to people. I'm not big on...
Well, I can vouch for those people, because I'm one of them. Depending on, I guess, what kind of a game or what game we're talking about, I'm just the type of person who, like, when you play Japanese games or when they come over here, I always want there to be the original track and English subtitles in it, just so I can hear it.
Oh, so you would characterize your attitude as subs, not dubs.
Yes, I'm completely subs, not even gonna lie.
Alright, so moving on, we've got another thing that people are all hot and bothered about.
Uh-oh, what's this?
You hear about the new Pokemon?
Yes, how can you not? have heard about that.
People are absolutely going apeshit on the Twitter machine, and they're just not very excited for this new-looking Mewtwo, or Mewtwo, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
I don't even know how to wrap my head around it. I'm very, like, about the original 150 Pokemon. I love them so much, and just every time they added more, I don't know what to do. I want my originals back. And this Pokemon, he looks pretty decent. I don't know.
It looks okay. Like, people are really mad about it. Like, some of the people I follow on Twitter, like, are big Pokemon fans, and they're just all flustered about it.
I don't understand, though. This Pokemon doesn't give me any bad vibes. I don't have a problem with this Mewtwo lookalike Pokemon as long as they don't name him Mew3.
Oh, I don't think they're going to be that.
But, I mean, how can you have a problem with this Pokemon when they make Pokemon that look like ice cream cones exactly. And trash barrels? I don't understand. Where's
ice
your
cream
logic?
Cones and chandeliers, and it's like, what the hell? Have you guys seen Magneton? It's three balls and magnets.
And then isn't there one that's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It just looks like vomit or something. Like really stupid squiggly lines with eyes and how?
I mean, I understand that liking a Pokemon, I mean, that's fine. Pokemon, you know, the design of the Pokemon is kind of larger than the point of the game, but like
right.
In a game featuring literally hundreds of other Pokemon, move on to another Pokemon, to one that you like.
I know, there are so many that you could put all this hate on. They haven't even discussed anything about it yet, really. Not in detail, and they're already hating on him. I kind of feel bad for him, even though he's not real.
It does look kind of funny, though. It kind of looks like it's got like this handle on its head that makes it kind of... It kind of reminds me of a GameCube. I just pick it up and carry it wherever I go without a Pokeball.
Well, it looks... I saw a picture on Facebook, and if you watched the really old Pokemon series with Jesse and James from Team Rocket, they showed a picture of this new Mewtwo Pokemon, and they added Jesse, the female Team Rocket member with the long red hair and that atrocious laugh. But they had it like that came from her or something. And you look at it, and it's like, where is this coming from? I do not understand.
Man, that original Pokemon cartoon, though, that was some good stuff.
It really was. I mean, saying goodbye to Butterfree.
Oh my god. that episode.
So
I was like 14 years old when I watched it. I was like, why am I crying at a Pokemon cartoon?
And then the movie, I remember I went to the theater to see that, and... Of course, my mother fell asleep, but I was just...
Oh, hell yeah. I remember getting, like, the Ancient Mew card. You ever get your Ancient...
Yes, I got that, too!
I still got that card and a bunch of other holographics from the Pokemon trading card set.
Oh, I'm jealous. Got rid of all my Pokemon cards a long time ago. Sad face.
I had a cousin who had, like, this little klepto phase, and he stole half of mine. I was like, this little fucker.
I'm going to admit right now that I did that. I used to take my cousin's Pokemon cards when they weren't looking because I really wanted them.
But the thing here is that when his mom found out, like, instead of returning them to me, she just threw them out and destroyed them. It's like, what? I was like, why would you tell me that? Why would you just tell them to me, you idiot?
Yeah, I found your cards. I threw them away.
Like, yeah, that's,
you do not
that's real helpful. And good job raising a delinquent son.
Aww.
Oh, he's fine.
I feel so bad.
Well, he's actually smarter now. He's actually one of my favorite people now. But... he was a little shit.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, Pokemon, everybody.
Pokemon. Stop all the hating. This Pokemon doesn't deserve it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Just putting that out there. No more.
Alright, so that's about it for news. And... there's not a whole lot in terms of new releases this week. I was actually preparing a list of things to put on StealthyBox.com, and there's literally nothing except for Guacamelee, which is out on PS Vita and PlayStation 3 right now.
Guacamelee.
It's actually really good and really fun. Have you seen
it? I don't understand. No.
Have you heard of it?
No. What is it? Can you tell me?
It is another 2D action-adventure Metroidvania-type game. But you play as a luchador, and you have to save El Presidente's daughter.
Of course, the name should have just...
Yeah, like, I saw it at PAX East last year, and it's really fun. Like, it's... Like, as a wrestler, all of your attacks are melee-based, you know, suplex and whatnot. And, like, there's this cool interdimensional gameplay mechanic where you can switch between light and dark worlds, and you can summon parts of the area. Lava becomes water or whatever, depending where you are.
Right.
And different enemies that hang out in different dimensions, too, and you have to switch back and forth on the fly. And it's all really...
Well, it sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a demo on PSN or not. But yeah, so that's available now on PlayStation Network for PS3 and Vita, $14.99. That gets you both versions of the game. And it's cross-save, cross-buy, all the good stuff.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, check it out.
We'll check it out very soon. Maybe.
All right, so now let's just talk about a thing that we put up today, actually, as we record this, that I think makes for fun discussion. And it's five characters that define this generation. And we have a fun list. It's on StealthyBox.com, and you should check it out.
But, yeah, definitely.
But rather than talk about the thing specifically on that list, I mean, five is it's a good list of five, but this generation of games across three platforms, a lot of cool characters came about. So what?
I know it's hard to narrow it down, really.
Yes.
To just five.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that Mr. Velox, or Velox, I'm not sure how we pronounce this now. That's a new name of the fox, by the way. It's probably difficult for him to narrow it down to five, but who would you put on this list that isn't on here?
Well, my pick is already on the list.
You have a pick for outside of the list, perhaps?
To add to the list. Let's see. I'm going to have to go with, I don't know if people will like this or not, but when Kingdom Hearts 3D was released, maybe I'll put Sora on the list from Kingdom Hearts. I don't know if that would count.
No.
But he just pops into my head.
No, because, yeah, the list here, he talks about some of the characters that were introduced last generation, like Master Chief and Kratos.
Oh, right. Okay.
So if we have someone from a newer game, perhaps. For me, continuing the Mass Effect theme, I kind of... My favorite Mass Effect character would probably be either Morden from Mass Effect 2 or
right.
Garrus from all of them. Those two guys are just amazing as partners and some of the best buds I've ever had in a digital space.
Yeah, I think Isaac. I mean, Isaac is on there already from Dead Space, but he's definitely a good choice to be on the list.
Let's see, apparently, Cole McGrath, Cole from Infamous.
Oh, yeah.
He was a lot of...
He would have been a great addition.
Yeah, the star of the best non-licensed superhero games ever.
I know. Him and his electrical powers did not make the list.
Now, when you played as Cole, did you play as Evil or Goody Two-Shoes Cole?
Always Goody Two-Shoes.
Did you ever replay it as the Evil Cole or no?
No.
Or did you just replay it and go goody again?
I didn't replay it very much, but I have a hard time straying from the good path in any game I play that allows you to make decisions.
Yeah, so, me too, actually. Like when I played...
that's the good side.
Like when I played Mass Effect 1, the original game, like when I replayed it, like I only did it as the Renegade the second time because there was an achievement tag attached to it. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
I have to get this achievement.
And when I tried to replay Infamous, the original game, I got about a third into it playing as Evil Cole, and I was like, no, man. Like, I got... Your girlfriend died, whatever.
You just had to switch. Yeah.
She was
annoying, though. I'm sorry. She was kind of irritating anyways. Not to say that it should be looked upon as a good thing, but she was irritating.
If any listeners want to contribute one of their favorite characters from this generation of games, you can send that to thissetup@stealthybox.com.
Yes, definitely do that. I would be really curious to see who you guys think also define this generation, along with the five characters that we already have on the website. It's just always interesting to hear other people's point of views.
Except for people like Peter on the comment section for the article, who very... very rudely asked, where's Master Chief? with 8 different exclamation points.
Uh-oh. Oh, I see it, yeah. I mean, you have to please
read
the Halo gamers, I guess.
Or you can just read. You can just read the opening paragraph, and then you can see why he's not there. Peter, good job.
Oh, poor Peter. Don't pick on Peter. He's going to completely leave Stealthy Box and never come back.
I'm looking at his grammar, and I'm not sure I would miss him. Mr. Peter.
I see it, yeah. It's just one letter that should be uppercase. Well, let's do this instead. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt this time.
All right. Only because Chris is so nice.
Yeah.
I'm allowing it this time.
Give him like a 3-strike policy. A little strike one. But
yeah, but one more idiot comment like that and you're out, Buster.
You know, watch yourself on Stealthy Box.
All right. So, moving on to a different editorial that we came up with on StealthyBox.com this week, we've got 10 Can't Miss Games for 2013, written by yours truly. And yeah. I think it was a good list of stuff.
It's definitely a good list, definitely.
I actually wanted to make it a top 5 list, but that was extremely difficult. It was actually hard enough to get it down to 10, to be honest. It's a couple of games that I had to remove. For the sake of
you pretty much nailed it, though, with the 10 that you picked.
I'd like to think so.
You don't think so?
I do think so.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah, I was about to say there's something wrong with you. If you think you did.
Of course I nailed it. That's my job, too. Nail things. I'm a carpenter.
Like Bob the Builder.
Sure, yeah. Like Bob.
Although he's not a carpenter. Why are we talking about Bob the Builder?
I'm the Bob the Builder of this goddamn website. And Guacamelee is also on this list, by the way. It has actually led the list. And I wrote it chronologically in terms of, you know, games coming out sooner and then moving down later and later.
Yeah. Now we'll definitely have to check that out because it's on the list.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Double the reason.
Check it out on StealthyBox.com. So what are some of the games that you're excited for this year?
Well, I saw on the list Remember Me.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That game I saw a while back. I don't know if it would be considered a trailer. It was just really short insight video on what the game includes. And just, it looked so cool. It kind of reminded me of Heavy Rain, I guess, with some of the decisions that it looked like they were making. But
yeah, kind of in terms of the storytelling, too, like not knowing exactly what's going on around you.
Yeah, it's just very different.
Yeah, and, like, the setting looks really cool, too. Like, it's the year's 2085, or 2084, rather, and it takes place in Neo-Paris. I just think that there aren't enough video games that take place in Neo-locations.
Neo-anywhere.
Yeah, like, every now and then there's, like, Neo-Tokyo, but we've seen that before.
Yeah, I know, that's everywhere.
Yeah, we've got Neo-Paris. That's cool. I want to see, like, Neo-Birmingham, Alabama.
Neo-Birmingham. That would be exciting there. Alabama.
I don't know. Go Roll Tide, I think. That's the thing that people say over there. I don't know what it means. Sports. So, yeah, Remember Me is a fun game. Or at least.
And then there's also, like, Beyond Two Souls.
Yes, that's...
Cannot begin to tell you how excited I am for that game. I really can't.
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic about it, because I'm actually not a very big fan of Quantic Dream and their brand of video games.
That makes me sad.
Oh, Heavy Rain made me sad for the wrong reasons.
For the wrong reasons?
In terms of, I didn't think it was a good video game at all.
I don't know how to react to that. Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I loved
it. I loved the idea of it. I liked that, you know, it was this big narrative focus. But the fact that the story was completely moronic to me, like full of plot holes, like would have been laughed out of any movie film festival or whatever.
Actually, that, I mean, you do make a point there. It's kind of a story that you'd hear a lot about, I think.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do to save somebody very close to you?
And the voice acting wasn't particularly good, to say the very least.
I didn't mind it.
You didn't mind the French, the French-American kids that lived in, like, a trailer park?
Which kids?
Yeah, this with a little spoiler warning in case you haven't played this 2.5 or 3-year-old game at this point. But yeah, so that part where you play as Shelby when he's a kid, and his dad's too drunk to notice him yelling about his drowning brother or whatever.
Right. I remember.
Like, Shelby sounds fine when he's older, but when he's younger, he sounds like...
All these accents.
He sounds like a troop member for Cirque du Soleil.
Maybe he was just around some of them before that happened. I mean, accents catch on fast. I don't know. I'm not going to try to cover up anything.
Oh, man. It just was a bad scene. But, I mean, I love David Cage's enthusiasm, I guess, for wanting to tell these stories. And I love the passion that he puts into them. But usually the end result doesn't excite me very much. But hopefully Beyond Two Souls will change that. That's why it's on the list. I could have easily taken it off if I was like, eh. But I'm intrigued by it nonetheless. So I was like,
oh. At least you're giving it a chance.
Yeah, I'll give it a chance.
What else is there on this list?
Let's see. Another game that I'm personally excited about, the one that's probably going to do not very good in sales, I'm going to go with Rayman Legends.
Rayman.
Yeah, Rayman, man.
I don't know why I wasn't expecting to hear Rayman.
Oh, I loved Rayman Origins. Did you play that at all?
I haven't, no. I don't know why I've never been a big Rayman fan.
Me neither, but I played Rayman Origins, and it's probably my favorite 2D platformer in a very long time, since, like, Super Mario World.
Oh, goodness.
It is very good. It's really tough, but it's not unfair.
Right. I get it.
Yeah, and it's absolutely beautiful to look at. And the music is super great and catchy and infectious. It's just this wonderful package, but then it sold crap because Ubisoft refused to promote it and gave it a weird release date. And it looks like they're doing that again with Rayman Legends. Like, it was supposed to come out as a Wii U exclusive in March.
Yeah.
And they ended up making it a multi-platform game. And the game was already finished when they announced that. They could have announced it for... They could have released it on Wii U and then, you know, released the other versions when they were ready.
Right. But instead...
Yeah, instead they're holding on to all the versions until they're all ready.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and they're going to release it probably in September. And knowing Ubisoft, they'll release it the day Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out.
Oh, then it definitely will not sell at all.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the people that don't like GTA go and get Rayman instead.
That's not a lot of people.
Probably not. I mean, even I have played GTA. My reasons are too violent to say, but I mean, like, I can relate, I guess.
Yeah, like a game that I didn't have room for, I guess, is coming out next week, and that's Injustice: Gods Among Us.
That's the
DC fighting game. And the demo came out last week, and I actually got to play it after we recorded a podcast.
They only had three characters.
Yeah, it's Batman, Wonder Woman, and Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Did you play it?
I didn't. I saw it, though. I was honestly surprised. I was expecting more than three characters.
Well, for a demo, I guess it's
kind of disappointing.
I'm really more surprised that they went with not a number of characters than even
for
a demo, but...
I mean, at least make it four.
Yeah. Or cut it down to two, whatever. Three is just such a weird number to me. But the combat is really reminiscent of Mortal Kombat because it's the same developers. And
yeah.
The combos feel pretty much the same way. They flow the same way.
It looked decent, but it's not something that I'm really overly excited about.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't put it above any of the games on my list, which is why I didn't make it on, but but what I did play is really fun. The environments, you can pick up a bunch of wacky objects, you can throw dumpsters at each other, you can...
Yeah, you can, like, interact with everything around
you.
Yeah,
the demo that... The stage on the demo is, I believe, in Gotham City, and you can start in one of two places, either on a rooftop or on the street. And if you start on the street, you can throw someone into this chemical tanker. And that'll launch them onto the rooftop section of the stage. And that's fun.
It is cool, though, the transitioning.
Yeah.
From roof to floor or whatever. And I don't know.
It's just the only thing that's funny about this game is that there's a lot of suspension of disbelief, even for a superhero fighting game. Just because, you know, there are characters like Superman and Doomsday and all these world-stopping people.
Yeah.
And then you have them fighting people like, you know, it's like, oh, all right, settle down. This guy with a bow and arrow.
He's not too excited about it.
This guy that they recruited at a sporting goods department somewhere is going to fucking take down Superman. Okay. But yeah, fun stuff either way. Is there anything on the list that isn't that you would, or something that isn't on the list that you would put on here?
Nothing comes to mind. I mean, The Last of Us is on the list, and that actually, I'm looking forward to that one too. But as of other games, I can't think of anything else that's being released that I want to try. I did want to try Fuse that comes out in May.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's being done by Insomniac Games. That's their first multi-platform release. They've been doing pretty much as PlayStation exclusives since they were founded in the PlayStation 1 era. They started with Spyro. They moved on to Ratchet & Clank. They did Resistance. They were never owned by Sony, but they were just exclusive to them. For whatever reason, they were just more comfortable with Sony.
I mean, something about the game, I watched the trailer for it, and it just... I just want to play it after I saw it. I was like, I really want to play this game.
Now, this is a trailer for Fuse and not what it used to be, which was, I forget what it was called before, but it seemed to be much more colorful and a little bit more cartoony in terms of...
Oh, no. This wasn't cartoony. Yeah, this is definitely Fuse.
It's interesting. People are kind of complaining about the name. It's so much more generic than Overstrike was. It's just Fuse. A little bit more brown than what it used to be.
Like when I heard it the first time, I was like, Fuse. That's it.
Yeah.
Where's the end part of it?
Like, is there a subtitle?
You know, like something to be added.
Yeah, like, I mean, knowing Insomniac's pedigree, like, they're always good with, you know, crazy ass weapons, as, you know, demonstrated in Resistance and Ratchet and Clank. So I'm excited for it.
I'm pretty excited. I don't know if I'll pick it up like on launch day, probably a few days after, but I still want to get my hands on it.
I mean, it's being published by EA, and EA's games tend to go down in price rather quickly. At least,
yeah, which is good.
Like, I bought Dead Space 3 about maybe 4 weeks tops after it released.
Isn't it like $35 now or something?
I don't know, but I bought it for $45 pretty soon after it released, or $40 even.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just...
Considering, aren't they still doing DLCs for Dead Space 3?
Yeah, I think so. I think they just released one, like a sort of epilogue thing.
Not bad.
Yeah, alright, so those are our games for 2013. If you guys, once again, want to submit something that we didn't mention, send your submission to thesetup@stealthybox.com.
Do it.
And I believe that is the end of our talky bits.
Our second podcast. I still can't believe Jack isn't here.
I can.
So weird.
I can. That guy's sketchy.
Oh, poor Jack. It's lonely.
That thing I said at the beginning of the show isn't even the worst of it.
I can't even get over that.
Man. Jack's a character.
Jacko.
Jacko. Once again, The Setup, official podcast of StealthyBox.com. Check us out there. We've got a Twitter, @StealthyBoxes. We're on Facebook, Facebook.com/StealthyBox. We're on YouTube, YouTube.com/StealthyBoxTV.
Yes, follow us, like us, subscribe to us, do everything. You won't be sorry.
Krista, do you have a Twitter, perhaps, that you can plug?
I do have a Twitter. Although I tweet a lot of stupid things and occasionally Japanese tweets. But yes, I have one. It is /cosmiclove, but it's COSMIX and then love. That's me.
Is that an extreme kind of cosmic love?
Oh, yeah. You gotta be ready for it.
Shredding some sick rails?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm @Wands23. Follow me there. I tweet about wings that aren't terrible and boneless.
I know, there's boneless, non-boneless chicken argument.
Did you catch that on the Twitter?
I did, man. Yes. I actually tried to get into it, and Jack made a comment about...
Yeah, that's another thing.
...how he's not a Neanderthal, and he doesn't need to look like he's killing his food while he eats it, and I just died. I have to agree with that, I'm sorry.
Oh,
and I love dinosaur chicken nuggets,
nope.
So...
I can't
boneless.
I can't do boneless. Unless they're just giant chicken nuggets for jerks. Can't do it. Can't handle it. Won't have it.
Don't understand.
Did you know? Here's a fun fact. Fun fact is that boneless chicken wings are made out of mechanically separated chicken feet.
Ew.
And chicken butts.
Don't ruin
that's what
dinosaur chicken nuggets and everything.
Oh, especially dinosaur chicken nuggets.
Oh my gosh.
Whereas chicken wings, you know, the real kind with bones in them, those are just regular ass chicken. And you can verify that because there's a goddamn bone in it.
That's just hoopla. No. I refuse to believe anything that you just said.
Well,
let me live in my little 5-year-old land forever. I will always eat those chicken nuggets.
Well, I'm here to yank you out of your little child's bubble and throw you into the harsh realities of the planet of Earth. Sad. And I'm sorry to be that person. All right. So that's the end of this podcast. So thank you for enjoying and downloading and listening. We're on iTunes now, I forgot to mention. You can subscribe there. Check us out there. Subscribe, like, rate, review. The more ratings we receive, the more visible we become. So please do that.
Yes, please do that.
All right. So say goodbye to the nice people, Krista.
Goodbye, nice people.